going on? You guys are telling me when to start now. Yes. Two services in a row. All of a sudden, the hush comes over the crowd. It's waiting for the dim, the lights to dim there. I like it.
Take the hint.
All right. There you go. It's good to see you all here. It's good to be in church this morning on this warm but wet weather. That's all right. I'll take it. It's not snow. I'm excited for the weather to turn here. So, but it's good to be in church this morning. It was good yesterday for those men that were able to make it yesterday. We had a good time. We had enough food for every church in the Lehigh Valley to come join the men's breakfast. And I'll tell you, it was good. I filled myself for sure. We had a good time. Looking forward to the next time we're able to do that. Before we get started here, I'm going to ask Brother Ralph if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house today. I pray that you continue, God, to direct us in this time in which we live. Day by day, it's a struggle because our home is not here. We only have a short time left. So help us to be faithful to the task that you've given us to do. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, particularly in the Ukraine, that have it much worse than we do. And we pray your hand of protection and blessing will be upon those that are really going through it right now. Give us the courage, if you should tarry, and anything like that would happen in this country, help us to be prepared and ready to stand for you as that time should come. Be with us now as we look into your word. We pray that you would guide and direct the pastor and give them the words to say. Help us to understand what you are telling us and help us to be faithful in the application of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. For our first song. Everybody, my sister, my niece.
That's your brother.
Yes. All right, for our first song, if you're able, I'd ask you to stand with me. We're going to turn to page 396. We're going to sing When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. All right, we're going to sing this one a cappella here. Let's lift our voices up. Praise our Lord for song here, page 396.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yonder.
5. I've got a mansion.
Come on now.
Page 685. I'm satisfied with
just a kind of emo.
Love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Amen. Some good verses there. All right, so for our final song here, I'll have you turn over to page 821. Page 821. Great old Lord, ask you to stand with me here. We're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Yes.
Serve him now with a perfect heart, if we so desire. If you take your Bible this morning, we're going to pick up here in Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter 4, as we continue to study through the book of Genesis. go ahead. Amen. Yeah, if we ever forget to dismiss the Sunday school, just go ahead and walk on out. That's fine with me. I won't think y'all just leaving the service. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen and amen. So Genesis chapter 4 here this morning, verse number 1. The Bible says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I ask you to just lead, guide, and direct now, dear God. Lord, have your will and way. Lord, clear my mind and my thoughts, dear God. And Lord, help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. And Lord, help our hearts. Help us to receive what the scriptures say. Lord, may you deal with us this morning with the mindset and the heart, Lord, to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, just give wisdom, guidance, and instruction now, we ask. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. So, no doubt there's a lot of things going on in the world. And here we are back in Genesis chapter number 4. And we find out 4 pages into my Bible, somebody's getting ready to kill somebody. And you got a total of 4 people on the planet. All right? And so it's no wonder why we're in a mess we're in today in our country and in the world. And I was talking with some brethren this weekend, and I believe this is sure as I'm standing here. You better be careful how much time you spend in the news and how much you watch. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch the news. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just be careful that it doesn't steal your joy and your peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. We know these things ought not to surprise us. The Bible tells us of these things. The Bible speaks of these things. And I believe we're in the beginning of sorrows. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence. Brethren, you got women and children and individuals in Ukraine that are suffering right now, but you also got the same thing happening in Russia. Right? There's some common people in Russia that are suffering right now because of their government. Right? I mean, there's some people over there that are just in the mess that is in Ukraine and then down in Haiti, Dominican Republic, Zimbabwe, China, North Korea, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the list goes on and on and on and on in this world. There's a lot of suffering all around the world, all around the world. But what I say is, I said, I don't think we were ever intended to take in as much information as being given to us today in the hour we're living in. I don't believe it was ever intended. I don't believe God ever intended for us to be able to gather so much information so quickly. I don't think our minds and hearts can handle it. If you got any type of heart about you, anything that's going on in the world will move you if you have a heart. I feel bad for people all around the world. So I say that all to say that we know from the very beginning man messed this thing up, and that's why we're in the fix we're in, is because of man. Man chose to rebel against God, and this is not God's doing in the sense of man chose to sin. Man chose to rebel. Why is there sickness in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there heartache in the world? Because man has chosen man rather than God. And we see this heart matter here in the very beginning. You have 4 people on the planet and a perfect setup pretty much. There's no YouTube, there's no Facebook, there's nothing there to influence anybody. There's not wars going on in foreign countries. There's 4 people. But as we're going to see here this morning, as we look at Cain and Abel, everything comes back to the heart. It all comes back to the heart. Look here, it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. We don't know how much time elapsed here from when they were driven from the garden by the Lord up to the point to where Adam knows Eve, his wife, and she has 2 children, Cain and Abel. We're not given any time frame here. It could have been days. It could have been years. We don't know. But this is one thing I want us to realize here. Is that there is some type of period of time. With that thought in mind, I want to put this across to you that there may be times in our lives and in our Christian growth when the Lord will remain silent for a period of time. We don't know how long this time was. We don't know if during this time the Lord was still meeting with and talking with Adam and Eve. We don't know. We just know that they were driven from the garden because they disobeyed God. And now Adam knows his wife, and now she's pregnant and has 2 kids. The question I'm asking you to see this morning is, and I'd like you to know that there will be times in our Christian walk and growth to where the Lord will be silent. The Lord will be silent. To where we feel sometimes as if we pray and as if God's not hearing our prayers. We read our Bibles and it seems as if there's nothing there and just a time of dryness and it seems like God's nowhere to be found. I believe in those times, it's times where God is trying us and testing us to see if we will continue on in trusting Him. How do you conduct yourself during those times of silence? I don't know if you've ever experienced them before, but I've experienced them in my Christian walk, to where there's just times of silence. I read my Bible, I pray, I know the Lord's there, but it's just not like it is in other times, the Word of God speaking with you and helping you along, and you know He's there. There's times in my walk to where it makes you wonder if God is even there anymore. Lord, do you even hear my prayer? God, are you even there? God, do you even see what is going on in my life, Lord? And it seems like it's just silence. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Sometimes those periods of silence is because of disobedience or rebellion or sin. Sometimes it's silence just for our own personal growth. Genesis chapter number 16, verse number 15. Look what the Bible says here. Genesis 16, 15. I will say this too, be careful how much time you spend in the world and what you pick up from the world. This is a whole other lesson. We'll get to it when we get here through to Genesis. Probably in 2045 we'll be in these verses. The way I'm going, and most preachers I think sometimes too, there's just so much in every verse of the Bible. So if anybody's here in 2045, we'll be touching on these verses here in Genesis chapter 16, verse 15. But for the time being, where did Abraham pick up Hagar? Down in Egypt. Why did he go down into Egypt? Did God direct him down there? No. Egypt's a picture of the world. Be careful what you pick up from the world, because it might just come back and bite you someday. Here, Sarai is like, hey, we can't have a kid, even though God promised one. We're waiting on God's timetable. God still hasn't fulfilled his promise, so take Hagar. Look what the Bible says in verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, and Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. He's 86 years old when he has Ishmael. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1. And then when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. 13 years of silence. 13 years of silence because Abram decided to listen to his wife and do what his wife said rather than what God said and what God promised Abram. And God says, okay, you're going to do it. You're going to try to solve this situation your own way and your own reasoning. God says, okay, therefore, because you're doing this your way, I'm going to be silent now because you like your own counsel and the counsel of your wife. Not saying that husbands shouldn't listen to the counsel of their wives, but ultimately the husband is accountable for the decision he makes. My wrong be upon thee. Sarai, or Sarah, looks at Abraham. My wrong be upon thee. You listen to me. It's your fault now. And I can imagine being Abraham. I love the Bible. I love the scriptures because now we can kind of chuckle at it. But can you imagine being in that situation, being Abram? Why did I listen to my wife in this situation here? You know, now I'm 13 years without hearing from God. 13 years of silence. And the Lord appears to him. But you know what Abraham did during those 13 years? He kept following God. He didn't backslide. He didn't go off doing his own thing. And he stayed faithful to what he knew. From the last time he heard from the Lord, he messed up. God will forgive it. But that whole time there was 13 years till God speaks to him again. God comes back to him and at the right time and God says, you've been faithful, you stayed faithful to me, and now I'm going to talk to you again. And hopefully you'll get it this time, and Abraham did get it this time. So what do you do during the times of silence? One of the main things you do is you remain faithful during these times. You remain faithful. You remain faithful. My preacher one time said to me, and I asked him this question one time, how do you know God's direction in your life? How do you know God's will in your life? My pastor said to me one time down there, and this was years ago, he said, Chris, he said, the last message you got from the tower, just keep flying that last direction he gave you. As if you're flying a plane. The last directions and the things that you made contact with the tower, the last tower you had made contact with, the directions you got, just continue staying on that course until you hear from the tower again. And so when God may be silent in your life, just be faithful to continue to do the things you know you need to do until you hear from the tower again. And then change your course as the Lord leads and directs. We have a God enough that will reveal himself to us. I believe that. I believe, though, you just stay faithful to the things God's called you to be faithful to, you're in the right place. Number two, be careful to not be moved by your emotions or your feelings. You see, I believe Abraham was moved here by his emotions and feelings, and that's why he listens to his wife, because he does look around and says, well, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning of time. God promised me a child, and now I'm 86 years old, and my wife is old, and we've got to intervene, because God doesn't realize we're getting old. God doesn't realize that my wife and I, we're getting up there to where we can't have kids no more. And I don't think the Lord realizes that. How many times we try to instruct God? Lord, you just don't understand, God. And God says, no, I completely understand. And that's when we get ourselves into a mess, when we try to counsel God. Ultimately, the heart of the matter. Look, this is going to be a theme this morning, through the morning service up to the evening service. It all comes back to the heart. You see, their actions speak of their heart, and their heart is saying, I need to counsel God. I need to instruct God, because God does not realize that I'm getting old. And my wife is really old, and we're past the time of childbearing age, and this is not going to work, because it's impossible for her to have a child now. So God, because it's impossible for her to have a child, I will now take matters in my own hand, and we will have a child through the world. And the Lord says, no. Allow God to work in your life. Stay faithful. Don't be moved by emotions and feelings. And number three, do those things that you know are right. Be faithful to church. Read, study your Bible, pray, and fellowship with believers. Fellowship with believers. Do the things that you know are right. One thing I love about my God is he puts it down to where everybody can do it. I believe that. I believe everybody in this room, despite education level, despite learning abilities, I believe sometimes people with learning disabilities have a closer walk with God than people that don't have learning disabilities. Oh, I believe that. You know why? Because it comes back to the heart, meekness and humility and faithfulness. It doesn't come back to intellect. It doesn't come back how much money you have in your bank account. It doesn't come back because of your prestige. It doesn't come back because you're popular. It all comes back to because you want to love God. And we're missing it today. We're putting the emphasis on the wrong things and think that these things are what makes us close to God. Absolutely not. What makes us close to God is our hearts and what our heart desires and our faithfulness to him. You see, the Lord makes it possible for everybody in this room to have a close walk with God. Can you read? Read your Bible. If you can't read, find something on a CD, MP3, to where you can listen to it and try to learn to read. But I believe everybody in this room can read. So you can read your Bible. Everybody in this room can pray. Everybody in this room can pray. And everybody in this room, for the most part, can try to stay faithful to the things that God's called them to do. Being in church. Those three things are so important in the last days we're living in. Brethren, I'm telling you, if these doors are open, you need to be in church. As the days move closer and closer, Hebrews 10:25, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because it's so easy to get disheartened. It's so easy to say, what's the use? It's so easy to say, I just quit and I'll just coast until God takes me home. Take your Bible, look back over at Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 4 again. All right? So we see here, we're given some instruction in verse number 2 of what these two young men are, their jobs are. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. Okay? So she has Cain. She says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And then she has the next son, which is Abel. And the Bible says that Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? Now, Cain is doing a proper job. God told Adam, listen, you're going to have to till the ground. You're going to have to work the ground to get your food. You're going to have to take care of the ground. But I believe also the Lord set the example for Adam and Eve that somebody also is going to have to be a keeper of sheep. For this purpose, that God requires a blood sacrifice. I believe from the very beginning, Adam and Eve knew that God would require, when you come before God, I believe Adam and Eve knew, when you come to appear before God, God requires a blood sacrifice. Okay? There's nothing wrong with Cain's occupation, and there's nothing wrong with Abel's occupation. Where we run into an issue, as we're going to see as we go forward here, is what they both bring to God. Okay? Now, so there's nothing wrong with what they're doing as far as their occupations go. What happens and where this problem comes in is how they worship the Lord and how they bring their sacrifice. All right? So look at verse 3 and 5 now. And in the process of time, it came to pass. All right? So there's some time, again, elapsing between the information we find here of Abel keeping sheep, Cain's a tiller of the ground. It goes into verse 3 and says, and in the process of time, it came to pass. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Now I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I believe that they have brought offerings and sacrifices to God before this instance that we're given in Genesis chapter 4. The reason I say that is because God doesn't hold you accountable for something that you don't know you're accountable for, in a sense. Okay? I believe Cain had seen before the precedent had been set by either his daddy, I think by his daddy first, and then even probably in some time in between when this happens and when they were, Abel was a keeper of sheep and he was a keeper of ground, that Cain knew that what was needed to be brought to God was a blood sacrifice. But it seems here over a process of time, Cain starts to think that he can maybe bring a shortcut to God. Maybe just a shortcut, maybe a little something different here, and I'll just bring him what I got here of my fruits. It's not even his first fruits, and we're going to get into that too. It just says he brings of the fruit of the ground. Now, one thing we can be sure is that in the process of time, it came to pass. One thing we can be sure of, in the process of time, it will come to pass. First things first is that Jesus Christ will come back. In the process of time, we're in that process of time right now, but you can be assured of it will come to pass. I was talking to somebody earlier this morning here, and I've said this church numerous times over the last week or so, I don't think we're going back to the normal. I don't think we're going back to the normal. Now, it wouldn't surprise me, though. Listen, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now, I know this is, I can't say this for a fact, but I just wonder if things won't get better for a moment, but for not the right purposes as we're thinking. Now, I might go out on a limb on this thing here, and some people might hate me for it, so be it, it's all right. It wouldn't surprise me if Trump gets in 2024 and things get better, but for the wrong. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Wouldn't surprise me he gets back in, gas prices go back down, people start getting comfortable in that again, and then wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I just wonder. And the reason I wonder, brethren, is this. I think things have crossed over now into what the Lord's talking about, the beginning of sorrows. And the reason I say that is because our morality in America is about completely gone. I don't have cable television, but little things that are sent to me and things that I see, brethren, it seems to be more and more on some of these commercials. And again, I don't watch many commercials at all. Just some little ads that sometimes come up with when I'm looking at the weather thing on my phone, an ad will come up for like a bank or a grocery store. And it's showing two men with their kids. Brethren, just that in alone, God's been merciful to us right now as a country with just that alone. I appreciate the men that came out yesterday morning, but I was talking to men yesterday morning in the Bible study. I said, God's looking for some godly men. You know, and one of the brothers brought up a very good point, and he was right on with it. When Abram went there to intercede for, as those two angels were walking to Sodom and Gomorrah, what was he praying for? 10 righteous. There's be 10 righteous. 10 righteous. 10 just trying to live for God. And I believe God's sparing this country right now because of some godly individuals in this country interceding on the behalf of their country and on those that are trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that is the only reason right now outside of us supporting Israel. But as soon as we ain't doing that much right now. And as soon as we start turning our back on Israel, we're done. Brethren, we are like every other nation in the world. How long did the Babylonians stay in power? Not very long. Then you had the Medes and Persians. Then you had the Greeks. Then you had the Romans. All these world superpowers. Egypt was a world superpower at one point. United Kingdom. At one point, it was said that the sun never set on the United Kingdom. On their kingdom, on their empire. It never set, the sun. Because they had territories all around the world that they occupied. Now look at the United Kingdom. They ain't got the power they used to have. And look at us in the United States. Now, I say all these things to get us to think and not to discourage us, but I heard some people talking about some individuals who I believe know what they're talking about. They said if the United States could put one ship in the Pacific Ocean to help out Taiwan with China, China could put 10 ships into our one. And as I said, some of the men in the men Bible study yesterday, can you imagine the generation of 17, 18, 19-year-olds and 20-year-old men fighting for us right now? Brethren, they can barely get out of bed. They can't get away from the video games that they're playing for 8 hours a day. Brethren, I get an announcement on my phone every Sunday morning. I don't know how to change it, but it comes up anyways from my phone. And it tells me how much my screen time was for this past week. And I try to stay off my phone. You know what my screen time was average every day this past week? An hour and a half a day that I look at my phone. And I don't have Facebook. I don't have social media. And I try to stay off of it. And I'm spending an hour and a half on it. If some of you got your cell phones, look on your screen time and see how much time you spend daily on your phone. Do you spend that much time in your Bible? Brother, I'm not being mean. We have got to stand before Jesus Christ someday. You think there'll be an excuse before God when we spent 3 hours in front of the television set and 15 minutes in the morning in our Bible reading? And we think we've done good because we've read two chapters and the Baptist bread. And I don't got nothing against the Baptist. I'm just making a point. Because I read that sometimes and I read Charles Spurgeon's morning and even I read some devotionals as well. What I'm saying is a devotional takes 3 minutes at the most to read. That Baptist bread maybe takes you 15 seconds to read. It ain't very big. And I'm not saying there's not good stuff in it. But what I'm saying is when it comes to what we put emphasis in everything else in our life, how does our spiritual life measure up with our physical life? I'm not trying to be mean this morning, brethren. God's dealing with me about it. God, when I read that this morning, I said, Lord, help me to spend even more time in my Bible. God, help me to take this number down and this number up. I'm not saying that there's never a time to enjoy things. I'm not saying that, brethren. I'm not saying that. Please don't go out here with the wrong mindset of what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, as I watched some Ukrainians this week fleeing one of those cities, all they got is what's on their back. They're not worried. Listen, some of those individuals, they're not worried who's going to win the soccer tournament this year. They're wondering where they can go live. They're not worried about what's coming on television at 8 o'clock tonight because they're trying to figure out where they might eat tonight at 8 o'clock. Some of those women, older women, and men, they don't even know where they're going. They're getting on a bus and they're just taking them out of the city. I say these things to provoke us to good works, to provoke us back to... There was a radio program one time, Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to the Word of God. Back to Jesus Christ. Back to prayer. Back to what really matters when it comes to eternity. It doesn't... Look, all that you can gain, all that you can get, as soon as you take that last breath or are near getting ready to take that last breath, you will care nothing about the car you drove. You will care nothing about the house you lived in. You will care nothing about the job you had. All you will care about is, pray for me because I'm getting ready to cross over. That's all that matters. When it comes down, my preacher says all the time, when it comes down to that 6x4 foot bed, for most people, they get there. That is the end of their life, right there. And some, in their latter parts of their life, they can't even make it out of that bed for the last couple months. That's all that matters. The devil's done a masterful job of trying us to grab carrots that he might even let us grab one time, but we realize it doesn't satisfy us. It doesn't make us happy. I believe Cain here knew what was right. But it came in a process of time, his heart come out. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the process of time, brethren, our hearts will be revealed of what we put the emphasis on in this life. In the process of time, someday it will be revealed what we put the emphasis on with the life that Jesus Christ gave us. My job, I believe, as a pastor is to try to help you, provoke you, to get you back to what the Scriptures say and to put our emphasis on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge what? The secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Do you see that verse? The Bible says here, Paul tells the Romans there, he says, in the day when God shall judge, what? What is God going to judge? He is going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. One thing you can be confident of as a believer is that nothing goes unnoticed by our God. Look at the wickedness that's going on right now with Putin over there and the bad things that he's doing and the lives he's destroying. We can rest confident that God notices what's going on. And there will be a reckoning day. Even the things that are done in secret, God knows about it. Brethren, we've had some individuals say, well, if you only knew what I knew, you would be doing this. I already know what you know. I know it's bad. I know it's dark. I don't know. I don't need to get on my Google account and look up every conspiracy theory out there to know it's bad. I know it's bad. I know there's a lot of things going on right now in secret, way up in the top. I don't believe President Biden runs the country. I believe he's a puppet. All right? I think there's higher than nay in Washington. What did George Washington say about this country? To avoid foreign entanglements. To not get caught up what happens in foreign affairs. Keep your nose out of everything but your own country. And what do we do right after George Washington passed away? We got our nose in foreign affairs. Brethren, this stuff has been going on, conspiracy stuff's been going on from the time before George Washington. Don't get caught up in the politics because it's been corrupt for a long time. It's been corrupt for a long time. I believe God's brought in certain men at certain times to help the country out a little bit, but for the most part, it's been corrupt. Bilderbergers, whatever you say their name. I mean, you've had a mess for a long time. When we took ourselves off the gold standard, brethren, the one world religion started. Brethren, you can go back to the 1800s and find stuff towards conspiracy theories and a one world government. So why should we be surprised in 2022 that our president seems to be just a puppet? Because he is. And you know what's missing in Christians' hearts? Is a softness for the souls of mankind. Take your Bible and look at Titus. I believe it's Titus Look at Titus chapter 3, and we're going to look at this tonight again, so we'll get to look at it twice. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. This is the job of a preacher. This is my job as a pastor, because Titus was a preacher. I believe he was sent of God. Paul's writing to him. And look what he tells Titus to put the brethren in remembrance of. Christians, not the lost world, Christians. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Look what it says next, verse 2. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Twice there, you find this principle of something for everyone. The Bible says to speak evil of no man, especially those that are in power and in authority. You better be very careful. You better be very careful what you speak of President Biden. This thing going around saying blank Biden, you better be careful because you're speaking of principalities and powers. I pray you hear me this morning. What did Daniel say as soon as he got out of that lion's den? Live forever, O king. The king that just threw him in a lion's den to basically get torn apart by lions. As far as I know right now, President Biden hasn't thrown anybody in a lion's den that I know of. Wouldn't surprise me if he has, but I don't know of it. Okay? I say this, you better be very, I'm telling you, you wonder why you might not have peace in your life and why you're depressed. It's maybe because you're speaking evil of dignities that not even the angels in heaven bring a railing accusation against. When Michael was contending over the body of Moses and Satan was there and he's wrestling that thing out with Satan, what did Michael say? Michael said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Michael wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against Satan, and Michael is one of the chief angels. Who are we as piddly little human beings on this planet to bring an accusation against somebody that God has set in power? Hear me this morning, brethren. Who does God sets up authorities? The Bible says that God will set up the basest of men. And you bring a railing accusation against Biden, you might just be bringing a railing accusation against God because God might have put him there. And when you say, well, who? Why is Biden there? And God might be up there in heaven saying, if you only knew, I put him there and you're speaking against me because America deserves it. Brethren, I think we get too haughty as independent Baptists and think that we can just spout off at the mouth at what God might be behind. God set up Nebuchadnezzar, and God has a way of humbling down authority. He doesn't need you to do it. That goes for your pastor as well, and I speak as a fool. But you, whoever your pastor may be, if I'm not your pastor or somebody else is your pastor, you better be very careful how you speak against God's authority he set up. God has a way of dealing with his authority, and we have a perfect principle and a picture of it with Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar got warning from Daniel, after a year, he looked out and said, look at this great kingdom I built. And guess who was watching? The watchers. Guess who I think the watchers are? The angels. And angels come to God and say, God, Father, Lord, cut him down. Father, he thinks he's something. Look at him, Father. He thinks he's something. Cut him down. And the Lord said, I'll cut him down. And he cut him down to nothing to where he's out there in a field eating grass like an ox. His fingernails grew so long like they're birds' claws. His hair grew so long that he looked like he was a wild mess. God has a way of taking care of authority. And it's not our job to correct it. And if we do think we need to correct it, you better tread lightly. Because God might have just set up the basest of men. There's Bible on that, brethren. There's Bible on it. So why are we surprised when we get a bad person as president of the United States? Why do we get in such a fit? Why do we think that when God says he would do those things? Do we think we deserve better? Answer me honestly this morning, brethren. Do we think we as a country deserve better than Joseph Biden? No, we deserve worse. That is very true, brother. We deserve a lot worse. We deserve fire coming down on some of our cities because of the just immorality alone. We better be careful what we complain of. We got a dear brother and sister sitting right there. Brother June, Sister May. Talk to them about some of the stuff goes on in their country. They can't even trust the police force over there. They're praying about their president that's going to get elected here in May. Take some time and talk to them too about leadership in a country. Talk to some Cubans about a leadership in a country. Joseph Biden's a little bit better than Fidel Castro. To where basically they were starving out the Christians down there in Cuba, because I know a young lady that's from Cuba. I had the privilege of teaching her how to drive. That was a fun task. Cuban women have some life to them. Let me just say that. I know some Polish women too that got some life to them. Amen. Cuban women, whoo! Go ahead and teach one of them how to drive. And she was driving a minivan, and I felt like I was in a Corvette. Whew. I think I lost 5 years off my life teaching her how to drive. But she opened up to us, and she was only 21 years old, 21 or 22 years old. She wasn't that old. She came over just not too long ago. She was able to get out of that country because a missionary went down there, and one of those missionary boys married her, and that's how she was able to get. Her parents are still down there, and they're still suffering persecution, even though Fidel Castro is not in power, because it's still a communist country, even though what might be reported as being different. And she talked about her daddy having to try to find food for her and her family. Brother, this is going on right now. Speak evil of no man. To be no brawler, but gentle. Brother, this is Bible. This is not Pastor Chris. This is Bible. Be gentle, showing what? All meekness unto all men. All men. The Bible says for us to be gentle and meek towards all men. Look what he says next in verse 3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived and serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in what? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Brethren, this is heavy on my mind this morning, been heavy on my heart these last 2 days. You know what's crossing our country? And it used to be not all parts of the country, but people just being hateful. Just being hateful. Just always being in a sour mood. Just always hateful. Never happy about nothing. Always complaining about stuff. That alone would give God the right to destroy this country. That alone right there would give God righteous cause to destroy this nation, much less our perversion. Brethren, we ought not to be living a life of malice, a life of envy, a life of hate, or hating one another. Why? Because of verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, or toward our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Brethren, do you realize the only reason you're allowed to be here this morning is because of God's mercy and righteousness, God's grace? We're allowed to breathe, we're allowed to move, we're allowed to have our being this morning because God's merciful to us. Just think of the sin in our own lives that God could have just said, I'm done with you. I'm wiping you out. Yet God is merciful to us. Brethren, what I believe what God desires is for us to treat others as God has treated us. God's shown us mercy. God's shown us long-suffering. What sense then does it make for us not to show mercy and long-suffering to others? May God help us. I'm going to close with this thought. May God help us to not be that servant that he begged his Lord to forgive him of that debt. He begged the Lord, "Lord, please forgive me of that debt." And the Lord forgave him of that debt. And yet then he went around to his other fellow servant and he took him by the neck and started shaking him and says, "Pay what you owe," which was less than what he owed his Lord. And then he cast him into the debtor's prison because he couldn't pay. How many Christians do that today in their own walk? God shows them mercy. God shows them long-suffering. God shows them kindness. They pray to God and say, "God, be merciful to me. God, show me kindness. God, bless me. God, help me." And then they turn around and they see their other brother and sister in the Lord and they tear them to pieces. God help us. We're just like that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. We get forgiven, but we don't show the same attitude towards others, which is what Jesus Christ requires. He requires that. And I say all that to say this morning, brethren, Cain's heart started drifting from God. Cain knew what God wanted, yet Cain decided to do things his own way, and eventually he was willing to kill his brother. How many individuals in our churches today, they might not physically kill their brother, but in their heart they are. In their heart they're a murderer. Read 1 John. What is 1 John all about? Love, love, love. Love, 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 and more, some more love. And this is from the man who wanted to call fire down from heaven upon somebody one time. Sons of Bandrines, or however you say that. Right? God, Lord Jesus, they're not with us. You will us to call down fire upon them? Even with David. David had to deal with the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with. They didn't follow us, and we rebuked them. Brethren, the Lord did something in John's life to where John, in the very end of his life, he writes 1 John, he says, "Love the brother, love the brotherhood, love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren, with a pure heart fervently, love the brethren." Even Peter, love the brethren with a pure heart fervently. Do a word study of how much we're supposed to put the emphasis on in this church age of loving one another. That's a big thing. We're to love one another. "By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another." Look what happened in Cain's heart. We're going to get to it later on. It got into Cain's heart malice, envy, hatefulness, hating his brother. And it came to pass over a process of time, because he didn't make it right, he rises up at one point and kills his brother. May God help us to not have that spirit in this church, to where in our heart, if we could, we'd slay our brother and sister in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I thank you for this Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to put the emphasis where you put the emphasis. Lord, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you had Paul tell Titus to not speak evil of dignities. Lord, you had Paul tell Titus to not speak evil of no man. And Lord God, I pray you'd help us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, help us to not speak evil of no man. Lord, help us. Dear God, Lord, I will just speak honestly with you this morning, Father. Lord, I'm not happy with who our president is. Lord, it grieves me. God, I would like nothing better to have a righteous man, a godly man, as president of the United States of America. I would pray to that end, dear God. Lord, I'd like nothing more than our Supreme Court to be full of righteous individuals who could judge righteous judgment, Lord. And all those in the Senate and in the House, dear God, it would joy my heart, Lord, to have men and women, Lord, that would do righteousness, dear God, for our country. But Lord, even though it's not that way, dear God, it's not my place to speak evil of no man. Lord, help me, Lord, to not speak evil of those things that I'm not privy to, dear God. Lord, I don't know why President Biden was allowed to be president, but I know one thing, you know why. And Lord, help me not to, like David said, Lord, help me not to entangle myself in and exercise myself in things that are higher than me. And Lord, I think sometimes the brethren, Lord, they exercise in things that are out of their realm. Lord, it's not our place, dear God. It's not our place. Lord, help us to pray for those that are in authority. God, they got a soul. President Biden has a soul, dear Lord. If he doesn't get saved, he will spend an eternity in hell. And Lord, we talk about how we don't want to see anybody go to hell, but Lord, he's got a soul. President Putin has got a soul, dear God. And Lord, he's doing wickedness, Lord, but you've shown in your Bible, Lord, Manasseh was a wicked man, yet he humbled himself. God, what President Putin's doing right now is wickedness, dear God, but I pray you'd bring things across his path to humble him down, dear Lord, that he may realize that himself and his nation, he's just but a man. Lord, you did so with Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself. Lord, I pray you'd humble President Putin down this morning, dear God, with the purpose as well, Lord, that he would see his need of salvation. God, bring conviction upon him, Lord. If he's ever heard any truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray you'd bring it across his mind this morning. Lord, I pray you make him miserable in his sin. Lord, deal with his soul, dear God, I pray. Lord, for all these things, that you would be glorified as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, help us to have the right attitude, dear Lord. Help us, Lord, help us to walk humbly with our God. Help us to tread lightly. Lord, and may we all realize that we're just men and we're just a breath away from eternity. God, help us to remember these things. And we'll pray them in the precious name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a break here. Lord, we're in about 5 minutes. If any men are interested, we'll be praying in my office. Take a little break here. We'll get started here with the second service. Amen.